So today's reading is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Thank you, Rachel. Let's pray as we turn to God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that the voice of the Lord is powerful. And so please, would you reveal your power and your glory through the written word today. Please, would you give us ears to listen and hearts to respond. Would you shape us through your words today? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that God's word saves people? Think of a number. I want you to write that number down in the chat, in the live chat, and I'm going to have a look in a moment to see what people are saying. But before you just write 10, because you know that's probably should be the right answer in theory, I want you to be honest. In reality, in practice for you, how confident are you really that the message of Jesus found in the pages of this book, the Bible, really does have the power to save people? Here's how you know how confident you really are. When you're sharing or you're talking about God with your friends and family that aren't Christians, how likely are you to go to the Bible, to open up God's word, to share something of the message of Jesus and the cross? Or do you feel that before you can do that, you kind of have to have some debates, you kind of need to convince them in your own words? When you do share God's word with someone, do you expect it to make a difference? Do you really believe that as you share something of God's word, they could receive eternal life? Does it feel powerful? Or does it kind of feel a little bit pointless and limited? I want you to write down a number in the live chat. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that God's word saves people? Now, there's a few seconds delay, so while we wait for some of those to come up, I'm going to ask the musicians who are in the room to hold up a number of fingers for me. How confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Nick says 10, that's good. We've got an 8 in the room as well. We've got another 8, and a 9. Okay, let's see if there's any answers coming up on the live chat. Perhaps you don't really want to say out loud or on the live chat what your real answer is. Still waiting. They're coming, are they? A 6, a 9, a 6, a 7, 100. Zach said 100. Zach, I've taught you well, my son. Nine. Okay, lots of different numbers, a couple of tens, but largely less than 10. And so my simple aim today is to increase that number. And even if you are Nick, you're a 10 out of 10, I hope you go to an 11 out of 10 today. My prayer is that we will be convinced from 2 Timothy chapter 2. We will be convinced that even when we are limited, even when we are restricted, God's word is not chained. God's word is not chained. That's kind of our big idea for today. So you can say that with me at home if you would like. God's word is not chained. We find that phrase in verse 9, where Paul, who writes this letter, he says, God's word is not chained. I'm rubbing it in. But that's a message that we need to hear. That is a message we need to swim around in and let it kind of absorb into our very being, because there are lots of ways in which it feels like God's word is chained, where God's word feels limited or restricted. Sometimes that restriction comes from the government. So we hear of places like China, where they try to shackle the word of God. In recent years, they've banned the online sale of Bibles. And they're even talking about rewriting it, editing it. Now, we're not quite at that stage here in the UK, but perhaps you share some concerns about the direction that we're heading in. Will we have freedom to be able to speak the truth? Is God's word going to be limited? Or perhaps God's word feels limited for you when you come up against a language barrier. I've found that lots of times here in Edmonton, trying to make Jesus known, trying to build relationships in this community. And you come up, you're talking with someone who you don't share a language with, and it's hard. It feels like God's word is so limited. What's it going to do? Perhaps the biggest restriction, or the biggest thing that feels like it's restricting God's word at the moment, is coronavirus, the lockdown that we're in. How on earth is God's word supposed to have an impact in this community when we can't even meet together at the moment? And when we do meet together, there are so many restrictions. How is God's word going to reach out into this community where we can't do all of the kind of Christmas events that we would love to do? Where as we try and build friendships in the community, it's just so much more difficult at the moment. Everyone's wearing masks and working from home and, you know, nothing's open. Is God's word restricted? I think the message for us today is that even in lockdown, God's word is not locked down. And Paul, he knows something about lockdown. Take a look again at verse 9. Paul says, "This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal." Paul, the apostle Paul, as he writes this letter to Timothy, the young pastor, he finds himself in chains. Now, I'm not sure if he was actually in stocks at that moment, but you get the idea. Imagine that he was chained up in that prison. That's where he was. He knew something about being in lockdown. He also knew something about social distancing. Have a look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul writes to Timothy, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." Because Paul is in lockdown, he can't go and see the people that he would love to see. Paul knew something about being limited. He couldn't go very far. He couldn't do very much. He was in lockdown. Why? Why was he in prison? Well, verse 8 tells us, "This is my gospel for which I am suffering to the point of being chained like a criminal." Paul is chained up in prison because of the gospel, because he is someone who declares the good news, the gospel, which is detailed for us and explained for us in verse 8. Take a look at verse 8. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel." That's the gospel. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. It's a kind of condensed version of the gospel. So much in there that is at the heart of the good news of Jesus. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. Jesus, whose name means Saviour. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Christ, the anointed one, God's promised Messiah that they'd all been waiting for and longing for. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, this Jesus who is the Saviour would save his people from their sins by dying on the cross in their place, taking the punishment that they deserve for their sins so that everyone who trusts in him can be forgiven and saved from their sins. That's something that is available to all of you who are watching today. If you trust in Jesus and ask him for forgiveness, you will know what it is to be saved from your sins. This Jesus who died on the cross 3 days later was raised from the dead, a vindication of who he is, the Son of God. The sacrifice had been accepted, the price had been paid. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David in the line of the King. This is the gospel, the promised Saviour, the risen King, the promised Saviour, the risen King. This is the message that cannot be chained. Did you notice the gospel actually isn't just a message about something? The gospel isn't just about something that happened in the past. The gospel is a person. Paul does not say, remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, remember Jesus, who is the risen King. Remember Jesus. The good news is not just a bunch of events that happened in the past. When we share the good news with someone, we're actually introducing them to the person of Jesus, the one who is alive today, the risen, ascended King. He is the one that cannot be stopped. He is the one who is spreading. He is the word of God that cannot be changed. You cannot put Jesus on a leash. And it's that truth which helps Paul to keep going during lockdown. Look at verse 10. God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul keeps going. He endures because God's word is not chained. And this is what God's word does. Nothing or no one can stop the word of God from bringing salvation in Christ and eternal glory to all of God's chosen people. No matter what obstacles you face, no matter what limitations or restrictions or oppositions there may be, nothing can stop the word of God. The good news will spread. Jesus will save. God's word is not chained. That's the message of the book of Acts. I've been reading through the book of Acts recently. I love it. It's one of my favourite books in the Bible. It's the story of how this risen King Jesus continues to save people and to spread this wonderful good news message through his people. And what we see is that as the good news of Jesus spreads, time and time again, they come against opposition and restrictions and people who are trying to lock down the word of God. But time and time again, we see that God's word is not chained. Peter and John heal a lame beggar, and the Sanhedrin try to shackle their tongues. They bring them in and they say, Peter and John, you must not speak in the name of Jesus anymore, okay? What do we read? They continue to spread, to speak the word of God boldly. God's word is not chained. Stephen is stoned to death. The Christians are scattered. But what do we read? Everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. God's word is not chained, as Luther said. Our body they may kill, God's word abideth still. His kingdom is forever. God's word is not chained. And then we meet Paul, and Paul starts to go on his missionary journeys throughout Europe. Everywhere he goes, he is hounded by people who hate him and who want to shut him up. But God's word is not chained. And then there's another limitation. There's another obstacle, because there's a group of people who want to restrict the good news of Jesus to those who are from a Jewish background, and only those who are from a Jewish background. But God's word is not chained. And so God's word won't be limited to just one set of people. Very soon, all sorts of people from all across that whole region are receiving salvation in Christ, are receiving eternal glory, because God's word is not chained. And so they throw Paul into prison. They want to shut him up. But God's word is not chained. And even in prison, we see him there in the stocks. At that point, he is definitely in the stocks. His feet are in the stocks. And he's in the inner cell of this dungeon. But God's word is not chained. And so as he and Silas pray and sing, the prisoners are listening in. And even the jailer ends up coming to faith in Jesus and being baptized with his whole family. God's word is not chained. Paul knew from previous experience that even lockdown cannot lock down the word of God. No matter who you throw into prison, no matter what laws you create, no matter what walls you try to build, no matter what threats you make, the message of Jesus will spread. The message of Jesus will swell. The message of Jesus will save. God's word is not chained. And so as Paul now writes from a prison cell, chained literally to a Roman soldier who was guarding him. And as Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he can say with confidence, even though I might be chained, the word of God is not chained. This is the wonderful message of the Bible. Even when God's word feels limited, when we can't do very much or go very far, when we share God's word but it doesn't feel like it's doing anything, God's word is not chained. Will the Chinese government be able to shackle the word of God? No. In fact, they tried it before. Just over 40 years ago, the Bible was an illegal book in China. But today, China is home to the largest Bible printing factory in the whole world. It's the size of 12 football pitches. It has the capacity to print 20 million Bibles a year. They try to stamp out Christianity. They try to clamp down. They try to shut up the word of God. But today there are nearly 100 million Chinese Christians. The word of God is not chained. And even here in the UK, even in lockdown, I want to encourage you this morning that the word of God is not locked down. A recent survey from the Evangelical Alliance found that evangelical churches here in the UK in lockdown are seeing more people attending and more people being saved. I was at the annual general meeting of the FIEC, which is the nationwide partnership of churches that we're a part of. And I was at the AGM last week, I think it was, and the national director was sharing some of these wonderful encouragements. He said, in the last 10 days, I've heard of 6 new people being saved in our churches. He was sharing various other encouragements. And then he made this observation, which I think is really helpful for us in understanding what's going on during lockdown. He said this: in this time of crisis, it is evangelical ministry that has proved especially resilient. With churches having to move mainly online, or not being able to meet, it's been evident that churches who have a primary emphasis on sacramental ministry or on social action, they have been unable to minister effectively. Word-based churches have been able to continue their primary ministry of making disciples. And he went on to say he knows that it's not ideal and that it's not a replacement for physically meeting together. But he ended by saying, God's word is not chained. God's word is not chained. Even in lockdown, God's word is not locked down. And so I hope today this gives us confidence in the word of God. You don't have to write again the number that you're now at, but I hope wherever you started, even if it was at a 10, your confidence in God's word is bumped up a little bit. I hope we are confident to stick to the word and to share the word. We must stick to the word of God. What is the message that cannot be chained? It's the message that Paul spoke about in verse 8. It's this message of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David, the promised Savior, the risen King. That's the message that cannot be chained. You might think that you're doing your friends a favor by changing the message to suit the culture, but Jesus and Jesus alone, the Jesus of the Bible, he alone is the one who has the power to bring people to salvation and to give people eternal glory. Stick to the word of God. And as we stick to the word of God, let's share this word of God. If the word of God is not chained, well, let's crack it open. Let's let it loose, unleash it, and see what God will do as we share his word with others. Let's stick to God's word and share God's word, even when we feel very limited and restricted. Like Tamsin does. Tamsin has health limitations, which frustrates her. She is unable to do very much or to go very far in the way that she would like to. But she is someone who shares regularly, every week, shares the word of God by sending out a text message to some of her friends who are not yet Christians. Because she knows that God's word is not chained. So can I suggest three ways that we can confidently stick to and share God's unchained word, particularly as we come into the Christmas season. Three numbers to help us out. 14, 5, and 1. 14, 5, and 1. 14 is give. We've been talking in recent weeks about love your neighbour. Is there up on the screen? This is what we're encouraging one another to do during this Christmas season, to reach out to our 14 nearest neighbours with the love of Christ and the word of Christ. And the first part of that was to offer help to those 14 people who live closest to us, to knock on their door, to post something through which has an offer of help during these difficult times. I hope you've done that. I hope you've had some good kind of responses from that. If you haven't, it's not too late. Let me encourage you to go and do that. The second kind of wave is give. Nearer to Christmas, perhaps in that week, the 12th to the 19th of December, we're encouraging one another to go back to those same 14 nearest neighbours and give them something, a Christmas card, a small gift that you've made or that you've bought, something that can be a blessing to those around you during this weird and strange time. Can I encourage you, as part of that Christmas care package, to include something of the Word of God, whether that be a Christmas leaflet which explains the good news of the Christmas message, or a gospel, a part of God's Word, or a verse that's written in that Christmas card. We have already actually bought those things. We've bought some of those leaflets and gospels. Hopefully, as we come out of lockdown, they'll be available for you to collect from the church building so that you can add them to your care packages. Let's think of a way in which we can bring God's word into the homes of those 14 nearest neighbours. Now, of course, we want to do that in an appropriate way. We don't want to just abuse relationships so that we've just got an opportunity for me to tell you what I want to tell you. We mustn't do that. We want to genuinely love our neighbours. And so it probably wouldn't be appropriate for all of us to go down all 14 doors, stand on their doorstep, give them an entire Bible and say, now you have to listen to this 10-minute gospel presentation. We don't, of course, we want to be appropriate in the way that we seek to share God's word. You're not a good neighbour if you only ever want to share God's word with them. You're not being a good neighbour if you only ever want to share God's word with them. But you're not being a good neighbour if you never want to share God's word with them. And so let's think of appropriate ways that we could give something of God's word into the homes of those 14 nearest neighbours and unleash God's unchained word. See what he will do as we bathe it in prayer. So 14 people to give something of God's word to this Christmas time. The five is to invite. Here's my challenge to you this Christmas time, to invite 5 people along to the carol services. Now, exactly what those carol services look like is to be confirmed, depending on what the restrictions are at that time. It will be on the 20th of December, but at least part of it will be online. There will definitely be an online option to join in. And so perhaps that's an easier invite. Maybe there are people who don't live in the area or those who would be really nervous about coming into a church building. But this year, you could invite them to watch along and to hear something of the Word of God. Those services will be particularly geared towards those who are not yet Christians, those who aren't used to church. And so it would be a great way to introduce someone to the good news of Jesus. 5 people to invite. And the one stands for one person that you could offer to read the Bible with. Whether that be in person, when that's allowed, or online, on a video call. Is there one person who you could say, I'd love to read the Bible with you? Maybe start in a gospel and just see where you go. Perhaps you think, well, I couldn't do that. I barely understand it myself. I don't know the answers. What if they ask me some difficult questions? Don't worry about that. Trust the Word of God to do its work. God's Word is not chained. Trust the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. So there's my challenge to you. 14 people that you can give something of the Word of God to this Christmas time. 5 people that you could invite along to the carol service, and 1 person that you could offer to read God's Word with. And maybe that seems really daunting and unreasonable and scary. How on earth are we going to have confidence that God's Word really will do its work? Well, let's finish by going back to the verses. What does Paul say in verse 8? Remember Jesus Christ. As he encourages this young pastor Timothy to stick to the word and to share the word, he says to him, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus, the Word of God. Remember Jesus, the Word of God, who allowed himself to be bound. In John 18, it's the same word used as Jesus is arrested and chained. He allowed himself to be chained like a criminal. He allowed himself to be crucified like a criminal. But remember Jesus Christ as he is today. Not a man on a cross or a man in a grave, but the risen King. Remember Jesus. Remember that the grave could not hold him. Remember Jesus. Remember that death had no grip on him. Remember Jesus, and remember that God's word is indeed not chained. If you need any more confidence than that, surely that's all you need. All the confidence you need that God's word is indeed not chained, because our Lord Jesus, the Word of God, is not chained by the shackles of death. But he is the promised Saviour. He is the risen King. Let's pray. Our Father, please, would you fill us with confidence in the Word of God. Jesus, our promised Saviour, our risen King, who today is still in the business of saving people and spreading that good news. We thank you that he rules and he reigns, that he is risen, and that he fills us with his Spirit to enable us to speak the word of God boldly, despite opposition and restrictions and limitations that we might feel. We praise you that the word of God is not chained. And so give us confidence to stick to that message and to share that message. And as we do, please, would you show that your word is not chained? Would you bring people to salvation in Christ Jesus and to eternal glory this Christmas time, as we seek to unleash the unchained word of God? Help us in these things, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.